So if you have your Bibles tonight, turn to 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1, and I'm in 2 Samuel, that's not going to work for us tonight, 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we're going to look at a story here in this time. Let me give a little background before we read in 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'm going to look at verses 24 through 28 to get us started. It'll be textual, so we'll try to stay right here, pretty much. This is the story of a very dark time in Israel's history. In fact, if you were to look at the last words from the book of Judges, studying this time, in Judges chapter 21, verse 25, the latter part of that verse, it says, "Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." And that was the state, if you please, that was the state of the people in the nation of Israel. And they had the commandments, they had their system set up, but it went awry. And so it was a dark time in their history. And so here's where we find this. It was this period. The Bible introduces us to Hannah. Hannah's introduced in this scripture. She is an earnest prayer in the tabernacle in Shiloh, and is assured by the priest that her prayer for a child would be answered. Remember, she was childless, and she wanted a child, and she was there praying for a child, and the priest there, Eli, thought that she was intoxicated or drunk, and because she was talking and acting a little peculiar at the altar praying. And so he said, hey, you know, he approached her and asked her. And she says, no, I'm praying. I want a child. And so she explains to him what she was doing. And he says, God will give you a child. And so through that, the course of her prayer, she promises God that if he would or would grant her a son, she would return the child to him for his services. And that is what a difference between honoring God and honoring self. And so this is what we'll be looking at tonight, an honor, our honor, or God's honor. Back on that. So in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 24, let's read some verses here. It says, "And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bullocks and one ephod of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young, and they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worship the Lord there." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you, and I thank you for, again, a time and an opportunity to be before your people. And Father, I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Use me, strike any word that shouldn't be said or any thought that shouldn't be in my mind. And Father, especially before your people, bless your people's hearts. Father, we pray for the people's needs, and Father, for their weaknesses, and Father, for the sickness that is among us. And Father, we want to bring it and bear it up before you in a petition that you would answer these prayers. But tonight, just be with us for a short moment, Father, with this message that you have given. And Father, be with our hearts as it attunes, it should attune itself to your word, to your Holy Spirit, to your way, to your direction. And be with the church tonight, this evening, as we ask these things. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. So here we find the story as she has weaned this boy child, this son she has, and she has given him back to the Lord to be used of the Lord for all of his life. Not for 6 months, not for 5 years, but for all of his life. And so let me say this. Hannah knew that what she had to offer was only that which God had already given. Yeah, she wasn't trying to lend something back that wasn't hers or something that she didn't have. So the word lent here means to offer upon request. Whatever I have, it is available to the Lord. Plans, friends, talents, anything that you have that God has given you should be and should go back to God. Now, you see, that thinking, that mindset, that what was just said is somebody who is willing to lend or yield, or if you please, lent themselves back to God. But now if we're honoring ourselves, well, that changes, because then your plans are your plans, self's plans. Your talents are your talents to be used when you so choose. And your friends or anything else you're involved in becomes yours at your command. And a lot of times, Christians, you and I, are more on the side of ourself, honor ourself and our ideals and our things, our talents, what we think God gives us, more than we honor God with what He has given us. And so a lot of this lies in the heart. We're going to notice a contrast here in 1 Samuel. Notice with me in the second chapter right there, 1 Samuel chapter 2. Now we'll notice something here as we develop this with Scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 2, notice with me verses 12 through 17. It says, "Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servants came while the flesh was in seething with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand, and he struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself." The Bible's explaining the process of what should have happened and what God had laid out through Aaron and the priest. Now on we go. "So they did in Shiloh and unto all the Israelites that came thither." Verse 15, "Also before they burnt the fat, the priest's servants came and said to the man that sacrificed, 'Give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, Let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, Nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force.'" So he's describing how these two guys handled themselves in the tabernacle here. Verse 17, "Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord." Here we find this word Belial. Let me give this to you. It means worthless. And it has, in this meeting or in this context, it's worthless. "They began to keep back that which clearly belonged to God." These men were taking part of the sacrifices that the people would bring into the tabernacle, and they were taking it for themselves. The choice part that was to be God's. It was to be burnt before God, and it was God's, and they were taking it for themselves, the part that belonged to the Lord. Now, you know where this is going to go. You and I, a lot of times, we can see when we read this in scriptures and thought, man, those two guys, they need to be strung up by their necks. But oftentimes, we take what God has given us, our talents, our treasures, our time, and we sacrifice it for ourselves rather than for God. You see, God kind of gets the leftovers of our timetable during the day. You see, God gets kind of what's left over of the paycheck that He gives us and gives us the health to use and to work to get a paycheck. You see, He gets part of that or a piece of that or should, but a lot of times we'll spend it on other things, generally self. And so the question is, our honor or God's honor is what we're looking at tonight. In your life, you will have honor either for yourself or for God. You say, well, that's right, it's your business. But the Bible brings it up, and we're going to address it tonight. And I want it to be a challenge, and not really a discharge, or I want it to be a challenge to you. If your honor is not in the right place, then it needs to be changed. Make a wise decision, not a foolish decision. These two young men had made foolish decisions. And so we see actually how the parent deals with this. Now, in contrast to how Hannah approached her offering to the Lord, these men believed that God somehow owed them something. There was a reason why these two young men were taking the offerings or the meat or the fat choice for themselves, because they thought that God owed them that. There'll be a reasoning. Well, I've got to work the double shift, or I've got to have this because I've got to pay the bills on the boat and everything else you got. Oh, okay. Well, you see how this fits into our lives today. We take the choice time and the choice things that God has given us, that has granted you, and then we squander it on ourselves. You say you're guilty of that. All of us are guilty of that in here. Nobody's exempt from that, including myself. And we'd be at the front of the line in that area of my life, sad to say. But as we move forward, God somehow owed them something. This is their thought, as if their service to Him made both God and those around them indebted to them. There was an indebted attitude. We kind of have this in our generation, my generation, generation in front of me, they think of entitlement. We call it entitlement. They're entitled to certain things. You're not entitled to anything. The air you breathe is God's air that you and I breathe and that the world breathes. The food that you and I enjoy and eat that's been given to us is from God. See, well, I work for it. Who give you the strength to work for it? Who give you the right mind and sound mind to keep your jaw long enough to get a paycheck to buy food? You understand, or pay the bills, or whatever have you. Now, God's for working. You have to understand that's part of God's plan. But you can mess a good plan up. And a lot of Christians look around at all the problems and the fault found in homes, found in churches, found in our society, and they're easy to pick out. But it all falls back onto self. What are we honoring? Are we honoring self, ourself, the things that we have? And by the way, we use God's gifts and talents to do that. Or are we honoring God? See, well, I'll use my talent when I want, how I want. Well, God affords you that for a limited amount of time until He gets fed up with it. And then He begins to deal with you, as with, the Bible says, sons. And so in Hebrews, before you can read about that, Hebrews chapter 5. But here, there was an indebtedness or an entitlement type mentality that these young men had. God had clearly laid out the provision for the priest. This was very clear, not unclear. Yet Hophni and Phinehas decided that God's provision for them was insufficient. And they were going to rob from God what they believed was their portion as well. You say, rob from God? I can rob from God? Yeah, it's not just maybe a tithe or an offering that you put in the plate. It might be time that you're taking from God that God has asked you in your heart with that still small voice, all that kindness and love and joy that He has, and says, hey, I want you to be over here at this time, or I want you doing more of this, or you need to be doing more of this, or you don't need to be doing that. And we ignore that, and we abuse it, and we take advantage of that time for ourselves. We take advantage of what God has given us to be used on ourself, honoring self. Our honor or God's honor? And tonight, that is a good question, and we're going to move further into this. Honoring God means that I must keep Him as the one I please. And so when we look at this, God is the one that we should please. Look at 1 Samuel. Notice with me the latter part of verse 28 as we make that statement. Look at verse 28. He says, I'll read the whole verse, but it's the latter part that I want to draw attention to. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 28. He says, therefore, also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Now, it's amazing that he knew that he was going to be lent to the Lord. And Samuel become a great prophet, by the way, as you watch him grow up for the nation of Israel. And God used him mightily. But here, the last part, he says, and he worshiped the Lord there. So we see here, he worshiped the Lord there. We see in 1 Samuel, notice with me, chapter 2 and verse 11. Watch this now as it develops. He says here, and the child did, and I'm looking at the latter part of verse 11 in chapter 2, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Samuel's focus was continually, it was entirely on God. Samuel's focus was on God and the things of God, but you see the contrast with Hophni and Phinehas that it was not on God. It was for self. They were honoring self. Honoring self means I will keep self as the one I please. I'm going to please myself. You can talk yourself into a lot of things. If we're honest with self, ourself, we talk ourselves into a lot of things that aren't honoring to God, and they're honoring to self. And yet we fail to see the consequences of when we honor ourselves through our life. It develops fruit. It develops things in our life that aren't easily misplaced. There are problems that you can't just root up and throw away. They're there, and sometimes God leaves them in your life for a reminder of what you have done and the caution of not going back and honoring self. And so here Eli's sons was focused on, they were focused on themselves. Eli's focus, he was on his children, but in essence, he was focused on himself because he didn't do anything about it. Eli was a very large man. While he may have given some verbal correction to his son's sins, he was actually partaking in the robbery of the sacrifice that had belonged to God. A prophet came to correct the high priest. And Eli listened to what he had to say. Now, we're going to look at this. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Notice with me in verse 29 as this moves forward. He says here, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 29, he says, "Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people." Sometimes we just justify our sins in our way by reasoning. Well, we just reason it out inside our head. I think that makes sense. Yeah, that looks good. That sounds pretty good. And, you know, you consider in your mind to rob the bank, you know, or consider in your mind, if you please to rob God, let's keep it in the context of church and the things of church. Not get to the bank robbing yet. We'll say that for a later time. But we rob God where God expects you to come forward. You know, when you got a Christian reasoning in their mind and you'll hear them say, well, it doesn't really actually say it in black and white. You know they've sidestepped the principles in the Bible, and now they've already argued the point within themselves. If a person will argue a point, they've already argued it inside themselves, self-reasoning. And this is what had taken place. Let's move to our third point. Our second point was honoring God means that I must keep Him as the one I please. And thirdly, we're going to see here, honoring God involves an acceptance of life's changes or challenges, I should say. An acceptance of life's challenges. Notice this now. 1 Samuel, now we're going to move forward. Chapter 3 and verse 18. Chapter 3 and verse 18. And for the sake of time, we're picking these verses up. It is an awesome read if you read these chapters, 1, 2, and 3, and all the way through. It is a story that's worth reading. All of it is, but for the sake of time, we'll develop these points and move on for time. So here we see in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 18, "And Samuel told him every whit." Now, Samuel is prophesying to Eli now, "and hid nothing from him, and he said, 'It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good.'" And what had happened is, God had spoke to this young man, Samuel, and said, "Look, you tell Eli that his days are numbered. His sons are going to die, he's going to die, and he's going to pass judgment on them." And that's what happened because they wouldn't get it right. And so, he's a little hesitant there. And Eli, the old man, said, "Go ahead. If God told you to say it, you say it." At least Eli had enough sense to do that. And so Samuel lays it out. And so this is the conclusion here in this verse 18. Let me say this. This was not an easy thing for the child Samuel to say to the high priest. Yet he was far more concerned with honoring God than honoring man. And it's amazing who God will use at what time. Here, he was using the young man Samuel. Remember, Samuel's the one he laid down to bed there after his mom had dropped him off at the temple. And he was laying there to give him a place to sleep, and he kept hearing, he thought it was Eli calling him. And he said, "Samuel." And Eli would said, "Here am I, here am I." And he went running in, and "Here am I." And Eli perceived after about the second time that the Lord was calling Samuel. And he said, so Eli told him, he said, "Look, when he calls again, you say, 'Here am I.'" It's the Lord. And so God can use a child. And here we see that God, look, this young child was more concerned in honoring God, saying what was right, than honoring man. Honoring self, listen now, honoring self may give lip service to obeying God, but that is all it is. And a lot of Christians... A lot of Christians get good at this. That's why you hear the world calling, "There's a bunch of hypocrites up there." Why do you think they say that? It's because we've gotten good at saying we love God, we give God everything, and then we go about and do something opposite. We rob God of the time He's given us. We rob God of the other, maybe the talents or whatever else He's given you as a benefit or a blessing from Him. And we use it for self. Self-gratification. Honoring self. And in the whole, guys, we have it under, I'm a Christian. I'm doing what God wants me to do. You're not. You're honoring self, and it comes out at the end. 1 Samuel chapter 2, look at verses 22 and 24. And we're saying, honoring self may give lip service to obeying God. Be careful what Christians say they do. But that's all it is. Eli gave lip service to God's instruction, but he did not give real service. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 22. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. It doesn't stop at one thing. It progresses. Sin will always go to the next level. That saying that sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you want to pay and keep you longer than you want to stay. That's sin. And this is what had happened. It just gets worse. And so we see here that they had went on and done quite some evil things here. And he said unto them in verse 23, I'm in chapter 2, verse 23, he said unto them, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. So the people were complaining to the high priest, which was Eli. And you see in 1 Samuel, move forward here in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 13. Notice what goes on here. For I have told him that I will judge his house. This is God speaking now, because Eli would not do nothing with his sons. Oh, he brought it up to him, talked to him, told him they shouldn't do it. But he didn't change the matter, and he had the power to. For God here, he says in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 13, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Listen, Eli spoke to his sons about their sin, but he honored them above God because he didn't do the work of restraining. Eli was given the responsibility of keeping those two men, his sons, in check. He had that power, and he had been given that by God because he was a high priest. So he gives them a little reprimand, and he goes on thinking, well, they'll get things right. Well, they don't. It gets worse. And God says, look, if you don't take care of it, and he's telling us here in this verse that he didn't take care of it, and he says because of their vileness, you didn't restrain them, he says, you're going to die. And that's what happens ultimately. Let me say this. We can see that there is a difference in what life looks like when we honor God rather than ourselves. But what does honor really mean? In Scripture, the word honor is used both as a noun and as a verb. The Bible says in Psalm 66, 1 and 2, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Here the word communicates the ideal of something almost tangible being placed upon a person. You find that in Psalms a lot. It is sometimes that what they possess. It's almost something that you can put off or put on. And so you'll see that if you study Psalms a lot. It means that they possess the glory and dignity and reverence in abundance. But here, in this portion, honor is something that is placed on you, and then it is a possessed thing. In other words, God can actually give you honor or not give you honor. And this is what is going on here in the life of Eli. Listen, Eli, because he was in sin, his two young sons had fallen into sin, and God said, look, you get it right. He gave him a time. He didn't get it right. And so he brings the next man on, Samuel, and Samuel was the next prophet, if you please, there to speak to the nation of Israel. And this is what's going on. In 1 Samuel 2:30, we find that honor is a verb. It requires action on the part of the doer, the one attempting to honor. This is what we want to get to. It wasn't just, well, he honors God with his words. There's action that must go with it. And Eli was willing to do the words, but not the action. This is right where you and I easily land in our lives. We come to a crossroad. Are we going to do something for God, not do something for God? Are we going to do what God's laid on our heart, not laid on our heart? And so we hit that crossroad, and we end up honoring ourselves and the whole time using our words saying we're honoring God. I'm telling you, at the end of that thing, your fruit's going to come out and it's going to tell on itself ultimately. And so we see this here going on. The word honor means to be heavy or to give weight or worth to, making the weighty those things that God says are important. Much in our worship today exists because it's how we want to come before God. This is what was going on in Eli's day. And his two sons were, listen, we reason that God is so desirous of making us happy that this worship or action or thing, we must be pleasing to Him. I like this style, so that's how I'm going to worship God. That was Cain's ideal. Well, I know I need a sacrifice. I know I need an altar, but this is how I'm going to do it. And God's not pleased with that. That's where Eli was at. I understand it might be wrong, but this is how I'm going to do it. And it cost him, and it will cost you and I if we walk down that road. Listen, are you simply honoring God? Or are you honoring self in your life? Here, we might say, well, I like this entertainment, so that's what I'm going to do and allow in my Christian life. Well, we allow a lot of things. But is it godly? Is it God-honoring? This is what we say when we said, is it God-honoring? If it's not God-honoring, we shouldn't be no part of it, have anything to do with it. So often we get wrapped up into this. Well, it's a preference, or he said this, or he said that. Listen, if it lines up with the Bible, if the Bible's against it, you should be against it. You say, well, the world doesn't like it. It's odd. It might be odd. It might be odd. And it might not be. It might just feel odd because you're so far away from truth that it feels awkward. And it really isn't awkward. It's just how far away you are from the truth. When God speaks about my mouth as it pertains to gossip or slander or foolishness or filthiness, I listen. We should listen. When God speaks about my family and how to raise children, I listen. You should listen. Well, that's archaic. That was just in there. We don't listen to that. You should listen. When God speaks about my possessions and what I am to do with them, you should listen. I should listen. And as I listen, I also should respond to God. A lot of times we just listen and we sit here and we don't respond to God. And you say, well, how do you know? It's because we keep doing the same thing. And nothing changes. The same thing goes on in our lives. So the conclusion of this, because Samuel valued wisdom and the very word of God, God honored Samuel. He did not honor Eli. He didn't honor Hophni and Phinehas, the two boys. Samuel let none of God's words get by him. And I want you to notice this before we end here. He caught them. The very words of God, he caught them. And so we see this in 1 Samuel. Notice with me here, and we'll end with this. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 19. The honoring is, are we honoring ourselves or are we honoring God with what we have been given? You say, well, what have I been given? Everything that you have. Everything that you enjoy, everything that consists of your being, who you are, is from God. And as Christians, He owns every part of it. Every part of it He wants to use. And so here, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19, watch what happened. It says, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. Samuel took, not only did he listen, but he didn't let any of the words fall. He took them in and he used them. Tonight, I know we ramble on, we look at verses, we read, and we say prayer, we talk, and then we leave. It needs to be taken in and then put in practice in our lives. You say, well, what are you saying tonight? Simply, what I'm saying tonight from Scripture is we have two choices. Generally, we find ourselves with honoring ourselves because we're self-prone. And that's a problem with our flesh. But the quicker we realize that as a problem and correct the problem, the better we can get on with honoring God with what God has given us. He didn't want anything that you don't have. You can't obtain. People say, well, I'm not a great this. I'm not a great that. I'm not very good at this. He wants just what you have. And if it's at a level one, He wants the level one. If you're level four, He wants the level four. But He wants all of it. He don't want half of it. He wants all of it. Tonight, are you honoring yourself in your Christian life, or are you honoring God in your Christian life? You can fool people. People are easily fooled, but you can't fool God. And God is long-suffering, He's patient, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. He's very forgiving. And we serve that kind of a God, but at the end of the day, He will deal with you as with a son. And if you walk astray or if you're more pleasing to self, God will administer what He needs to do to bring you back, to draw you back to Him in His way. Eli didn't get it right. Eli didn't get it right before God. Eli and his two sons did not get it right. I don't know if they, they were working in the temple, and they said there, we first read that they didn't know God. Probably most of the problem right there, they didn't know God. So tonight, hopefully that's been helpful, challenging. Let's all stand. Serve God, honor God. You say, how do I do that? Well, simply time, treasure, and talent is basically what you're made up of. God, His love language is works, action. Words doesn't get it. Words don't get it for God. His love language is acts of service. And so we want to make sure that we're about what God has told us to do as a church, as an individual, as a family, and so on and so forth. Pastor.